Enjoy your service.
Thank you.
Good evening.
Good evening.
It's awfully hot. welcome to worship, and thank you for the welcome. I'm Pastor James Miller, currently the only pastor at Trinity of Nashville. Technically, I'm still the associate pastor, even though we don't have a senior right now. I'm not like automatically promoted to sole or something. So I am the pastor from Nashville. So greetings from the Saints of Nashville. Good to be here. I love these Lenten rotations, even Advent rotations, but we don't do that a whole lot. But this opportunity to come and experience other congregations and also share the good news to our extended family. So if Pastor Wallenberg, I guess, is father in the faith, that makes me an uncle, I guess. Well, as you are able, I invite you to stand as we begin our worship. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us ever walk with Jesus. To behold the gifts of his forgiveness. To marvel at the magnitude of his mercy. It belongs to the high priest Caiaphas, but Peter is there, and so are others. But all is not lost. After Peter's collapse, God's grace is amazing. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated for our hymn of response, In Adam We Have All Been One.
Thank you.
invite you to stand. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Merciful and mighty Father, like Peter, we can make great boasts, saying, "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." When we fail and fall and get lost in guilt, restore to us the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our Old Testament lesson comes from the prophet Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. And they made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our epistle lesson comes from St. James, the 2nd chapter. If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself," you are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become guilty of all of it. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, "Do not murder." If you do not commit adultery but do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As you are able, I invite you to stand. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 26th chapter. Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came up to him and said, "You also were with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you mean." And when he went out to the entrance, another servant girl saw him, and she said to bystanders, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." And again he denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Certainly you too are one of them, for your accent betrays you." Then he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, "I do not know the man." And immediately the rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the saying of Jesus, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated as we sing our series hymn, our sermon hymn, "My Hope is Built on Nothing Less." Grace, peace, and mercy be yours in abundance from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, and greetings from the saints of Trinity Nashville. Amen. Noel Coward was a famous British playwright who died in the year 1973. He once played a practical joke on 20 of the most famous men in London. He sent all 20 men an identical note reading, "Everybody has found out what you have done. If I were you, I would get out of town." And what happened? All 20 men got out of town. What would you do if you received a letter like that? Everyone found out what you did. If I were you, get out of town. What would race through your mind? The income that you hid from the IRS? All that time at work that you spent playing video games? The expense account that you inflated? Your secret rendezvous in Chicago? It's called the G word. You know that G word, of course. Guilt. Sometimes guilt can just sit on our chest like a concrete block until we're sick to our stomach, the wind is taken out of our lungs. Now, maybe there's someone who doesn't know what guilt is like, someone who doesn't know that quagmire of remorse, that ongoing note to self, "You're worthless." But I've never met a person like that. So what has sucked you under? What is it in your history, in your past, that drags you down into the mire of guilt? Was it a one-night stand, a backstreet brawl? Or maybe your guilt isn't so much a moment in time, but a whole season of life. You failed as a parent. You squandered your youth. You squandered your money. Or maybe both at the same time. But whatever it is, what is the result? Ugh, guilt. As we continue our journey with Jesus, going to the places of the Passion, tonight we stroll with our Lord to the courtyard in Jerusalem. Now, not a nice courtyard with fountains and leaves, but the courtyard of the high priest Caiaphas. In Caiaphas's courtyard, we can see guilt, the guilt of Peter, and we see our own guilt. But beyond the courtyard, we see something else: grace. Grace for Peter and grace for us. But first, let's get the context of what's going on here. First, after we've journeyed with Jesus to the courtyard, let's take a quick jaunt back to Gethsemane. Here is the claim. Peter answered him, "Though they fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." God bless Peter. Jesus and Peter have been through so much. Just 3 years earlier, Jesus was walking along the north shore of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus sees Peter doing his fishing job with his brother Andrew, and he calls them both to follow him. "I will make you fishers of men," the Lord says. And Peter and Andrew follow. One day, about a year later, Peter follows Jesus out onto the Sea of Galilee itself during a real whale of a storm. Peter walks on water, but then he begins to sink. Jesus immediately reaches out his hand and takes hold of Peter and saves him in a very real physical way. At Caesarea Philippi, a little later on, Peter says to Jesus, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." After that, Jesus takes Peter, along with James and John, to see his glory on the Mount of Transfiguration. Then Jesus invites that same trio to witness his agony in the Garden of Gethsemane. No wonder Peter makes this claim, "Even though I must die with you, I will not deny you." They've been through so much together. But really, we've all made that claim. When we got confirmed by the pastor, however many years ago, the pastor asked, Do you intend to live according to the word of God and in faith, word and deed, remain true to Father, Son, Holy Spirit, even to death? And we all said, I do. In the service of holy matrimony, for those that our Lord has blessed with marriage, the pastor asked, will you take this man to be your wedded husband? The women said, I do. Will you take this woman to be your wedded wife? The men said, I do. That is the claim. It's easy. It's easy to say those words. But then after the claim comes the cracks. As the events of the courtyard unfold, it's like watching a house and the foundation is cracking underneath, slowly spreading throughout the concrete. The servant girl comes up to Peter and says, you were with Jesus the Galilean. Peter denies it, saying, I don't know what you mean. The first crack. Peter then goes to the courtyard entrance when another servant girl sees him. She says to the bystanders, hey, that man was with Jesus of Nazareth. Again, Peter denies it, only this time with an oath. I don't know the man. Another crack. And when there's enough cracks in a foundation, then comes the collapse. And so, the collapse. A little while after, the bystanders came up to Peter. Certainly you are one of them, for your accent betrays you. Then he began to invoke a curse on himself and to say, I don't know the man. Now, we know from first century documents that the Jews in Galilee spoke a different dialect of Aramaic. It's kind of like when you or I hear someone speaking from the Deep South or someone from England. A little different cut of the tongue. And so that's what they recognized in Peter. And so what does Peter do? Well, that expression, he invoked a curse on himself, is where we get the word anathematize. It means to be eternally condemned. Paul uses the same word in Galatians chapter 1. If anyone preaches a different gospel to you, let him be anathematized, eternally condemned. Peter would rather be eternally condemned than admit that he knows his Lord. First comes Peter's evasive denial, then becomes his direct denial, and now comes a curse upon himself, and then the rooster crowed. And then what happens? The collapse. For us, it happens when we say, just one more drink, bartender. Or when we say, just one more lie. Or just one more fling, just one more look. Crack, crack, crack. But then one leads to the next, to the next, to the next. When there are enough cracks, there will always be a collapse. Always. And then what? The guilt. But what are our options when we are weighed down with that guilt, when we have been, when we collapse under all of our, all of those cracks in our faith and our stability? What happens when we're sitting under that load of guilt? Well, we have some options. We can numb the pain, a drink during happy hour. We can numb it through binge drinking, binge shopping, binge gaming, binge eating, whatever it is. We can numb the pain. We can deny the pain. Pretend it doesn't exist. Pretend that rooster never crowed. Concoct a plan to cover it all up. One lie to another lie to another, and pretty soon we're modifying the third lie to cover the first lie, and modifying the fifth lie to cover the third lie, and so on and so forth. We could deny it. Or we can bury that guilt. Bury that pain. We can bury it within a pile of work and calendar appointments. The busier that we stay, the less we think about what's going on, the less we can come to dislike the person we dislike the most, ourselves. Or we can punish it. We could cut ourselves, flog ourselves. And maybe it not always with physical whips, but maybe with rules. Create a long list of things to do that we need to study more, pray more, stay up later, get up earlier. We could punish ourselves for the guilt. We could minimize it. Hey, we didn't really sin. We just missed the mark. We just got caught up in the moment. We just took the wrong path. It wasn't really sin. Or we can redirect it. It's not our problem, it's somebody else's. Blame, lash out physically at our children, at our pets, whatever it is, our spouse, our coworker, lashing out. Maybe it's that person in the next lane. Whoever it is, it's not our fault. Or we can offset it. Build the perfect family, create the perfect career, score perfect grades, and be completely intolerant of others when they miss the mark. But those seven ways, it still remains. The guilt is still on top of us. And then that ugly G word, that guilt, turns us into miserable, weary, angry, duplicitous, stressed out people. Guilt can just suck the life right out of you. But there's another G word that restores us. Grace. How does that happen? Through confession. Peter went out and wept bitterly. He didn't numb his pain, didn't deny it, bury it, punish it, minimize it, redirect it, offset it. No, he confessed his guilt. Period. He confessed his guilt. Well, Peter goes out to weep bitterly and confess and come to grips with what he just did. Jesus was going somewhere else. Jesus was going to the cross to die. Now, Jesus doesn't wait until we have it all together. Jesus doesn't wait for us to overcome all the temptations in our life and fight our own demons and conquer sin by ourselves. No, Jesus doesn't wait for us to do all that. Instead, as Paul says in Romans 5, God shows his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In our courtyard, we see guilt. But beyond the courtyard, we see the cross. We see grace. And grace means something great for us. It's a comeback. Because who preached at Pentecost? Peter. Who delivers the sermon that converts thousands of people? Peter. Who writes two whole books in the New Testament? Peter. Listen closely, though. Comebacks don't rely on how much we love Jesus. It depends on how much Jesus loves us. A comeback doesn't depend on what we do for our Lord. It's what our Lord did for us. Comebacks don't depend on us giving our heart to Jesus. It's about Jesus giving his heart for us. Our story isn't over when Jesus, our story isn't over when Jesus is in it. It's great. Our story isn't over because there's always Jesus. We can always come back from guilt by the best G word of all, God's grace. Amen. May the peace and grace of God that surpasses all human understanding safeguard your hearts and minds in our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Let us sing our next hymn, our series hymn, Let Us Ever Walk with Jesus. are able, I invite you to stand. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their need. Almighty God, you have called your Church to witness that in Christ you have reconciled us to yourself. Grant that by your Holy Spirit we may proclaim the good news of your salvation, so that all who hear it may receive the gift of salvation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, through your shameful death on the cross, you embraced the guilt of our sin and atoned for our iniquities. Forgive us, your servants. Assure us that you have cleansed us of our guilt and taken away our shame, that we may rejoice in the freedom of sins, forgiven in your everlasting peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty God, the fount of all wisdom, by your Holy Spirit, enlighten those who teach and those who learn, remembering especially Trinity Lutheran School and Trinity St. John Lutheran Schools. Rejoicing in the knowledge of your truth, all students and teachers and pastors may worship you and serve you from generation to generation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord God, the life of all the living, the light of the faithful, the strength of those who labor, the repose of the blessed death, grant us a powerful night, free from all disturbance, that at the time of our quiet slumber, we may be in your goodness, we may be in your guidance, and may your Holy Spirit be upon us, and enable us the peace to render our thanks to you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious Father, we give thanks to you for this day, especially for the good that we have been permitted to give and to receive. The day is now past, and we commit it to you. We entrust to you this night and rest in your peace, for you are our help, and you neither slumber nor sleep. Hear us for the sake of Jesus, who has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Almighty and Merciful Lord, Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, bless and keep you. Amen. Please be seated for our closing hymn, Go My Children with My Blessing.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining in worship, my brothers and sisters in Christ, or my nieces, nephews, I don't know. Either way you cut it, glad to be with you tonight. Next week, Pastor Tim Miller from New Minden will be with you as you continue to journey to the Pilate's Judgment Hall. So I invite you to come back and continue this journey. Any other announcements I should be sharing? All right, seeing nothing, go in peace and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Blessed week.